Darling, it's a magical kingdom in a mixed up world. You're in the sweet spot, baby. You're in the sweet spot, girl. You're in the sweet spot, darling. It's a magical kingdom in a mixed up world.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Podcast. My name is Lynn, your host, and Ken's my co-host. Ken, what's going on?
Lynn, it is going. It is going. I'm so happy to be here. I'm looking forward to this episode of the Sweep Spot Podcast.
This is episode 371.
371?
That's right.
You know what that means.
What?
The last one we did was 370.
That's right. Well, Ken and I are both former Disneyland custodial customers, and we host the number one Disneyland podcast hosted by two former Disneyland custodians.
Number one.
We're also authors of the books Cleaning the Kingdom. We have two volumes out. They have totally different content in each one. And you can get both of those signed on our website at thesweepspot.com. They make great gifts for fans of Disney or fans of, if you know someone in your family or a friend that's a fan of custodial, then this is the book for you. Or if you're a fan of Code Vs, this is also the book for you.
If you want to know what a Code V is, you can get the book and find
that's
out.
That's right. That's right. You can get signed copies, like I said, at sweetspot.com. You can also get non-signed copies at Amazon, and you can get both copies on Kindle or wherever digital books are found. You can also get both books on audio, and you can get those on audible.com or wherever audiobooks are found. If you want to help support our show, we'd really appreciate it. We don't get paid like YouTube does. But podcasters don't have that yet, but we do have listeners, and we have some great listeners out there, people that have been following us for years and years. So a decade or more. So if you want to help support the show, you can, we have a lot of cool perks, and you can, get those perks, or some of them, if you donate $5 or more per month, one of them is you get to join us for current events, which is our news show. And you get to, chime in with a comment, and I'll incorporate those comments into the recording as we record them live. And we do that once a month. And then you also get a bonus episode that Ken and I record specifically just for the Patreons. It's its own episode. It's not like bonus content or anything. It's just its own episode. And you can do that all for $5 or more per month. But if you don't, you know, have money to give $5, I totally understand. Even a dollar goes a long ways and really helps us. And we really appreciate everyone that's continuing to do that. You can sign up at patreon.com and search the Sweep Spot, that sweep, like sweeping the floor. Or you can go to our website, thesweepspot.com, and look for the Patreon link there. I wanted to mention one thing before we move on here. So I'm a travel planner with Concierge, and I can book vacations to Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, Alani, Adventures by Disney, and Universal Parks. And as one of the perks of booking a package with me, which means hotel and tickets, is that I will also reserve dining for you, tours, special events that happen, like Oogie Boogie, you know, things that happen at the Disney resorts. Also set up, you know, if you need a shuttle to the airport or from the airport, or a scooter for your family, or anything really. those are all like perks when you book a package. And that's not what I do separately, because we don't make money doing those. Those are all like things that we like to do for someone that's booking a vacation with us. So just wanted to make that clear, that the dining is not a separate thing. And, you know, I'd love to talk to you. 2024 is all starting to book. You know, people are booking into 2024. So if you know for sure you're going to go next year, all you need is for Disneyland, I know for sure, all you need is $200 down. And you don't have to have it all at the front. You know, some people think, oh, I need to save for my vacation. But you can hold your spot, your room, and your tickets. So also, you know how tickets go up in October. If you book now, say you're going in next November, you reserve those prices, because tickets, you know, will always continue to go up, along with hotel prices. So contact me at L Barron. That's LBARRON at concierge.com. Or you can find me on social media or through our website, thesweetspot.com. And I'd love to work with you and talk with you about making your vacation the best it can be. All right. Ken, who's our guest tonight?
I don't know, Lynn. No, we're actually having Jeremiah LeCompte on. He is a former cast member. He was in custodial with us at Disneyland, same time as us. Mm-hmm. And then he went over to California Adventure and was in custodial over there. He has got a lot of great stories to tell. We're going to get some of those with this episode. I'm looking forward to it. You might recognize the name Jeremiah from our first book.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
He was one of my favorite audience members when I would, you know, do impersonations and stuff like that while working there. So, you'll be able to hear some of his laugh in this episode.
He's your number one fan, Ken.
Maybe. Well, I mean, number one outside of my family, I would think, but maybe. Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. I'm really excited to talk with him also. And I think you guys are going to love it too. Looking to book a vacation to Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World Resort, Disney Cruise Line, Disney Alani, Disneyland Paris, Adventures by Disney, Universal Studios Hollywood, Universal Studios Orlando, then I can do that for you. If you contact me and we can talk about all the different options and dates, and we can kind of even make recommendations on which days might be the best for you to go. And also as a complimentary, when you book with us, we will book your dining for you if you'd like, special events. And we also, when we book a vacation for you, we just don't say have a good time after we book it for you. We are there every step of the way. We contact you before your trip to make sure everything's squared away. We even have a checklist to make sure that you have everything you need. Reservations, dining, all these different things. Your transportation, if you need help with that from the airport, any of those sort of things, we can help you with that too. We want to make the vacation the best it can be for you, because I know that vacations aren't cheap, and we can help you do that. So if you contact me, that's Lynn, and the email is lbarron at concierge.com. That's LBARRON at concierge.com. Or you can go to thesweetspot.com, and there's a link on our front page there. You can click on that, and there's information on how to contact me. But I'd love to talk to you and help you book the best vacation possible.
Yippee-yay.
So did you grow up going to Disneyland or living in the area, or how did you first come to Disneyland?
Well, my dad, who grew up in Anaheim, he grew up with a guy that was the son of a you know, future Disney legend. He grew up a Charles Boyer's son. I don't know if you guys know about Charles Boyer, but he was the main drawer, painter of Mickey Mouse for the Disneyland Resort. So, you know, when I was growing up and after my parents died away, you know, like he was one of the guys that was like a surrogate father figure. And, you know, whenever I went over to his house, he had all these awesome drawings and pictures of Disneyland that I just adore. And, you know, I couldn't stop loving the Disneyland park because of his drawings and pictures. And so when I got into my teenagers, you know, of course, you know, I became, you know, an annual pass holder in high school. I met with my counselor and he's, you know, like was talking to me about my interests and everything. And I said, you know, something about Disneyland. And he said, well, we have a program that is called ROP Disneyland. So he enrolled me in ROP Disneyland. And we started, you know, like I started, you know, like in that program with becoming experienced cast member in various departments. My first department was merchandise. In merchandise, you know, like, you know, I first started in Adventureland merchandise, and Adventureland merchandise was awesome. You know, like I loved it at first, but you know, like eventually it became monotonous to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like in merchandise, you're stuck in various locations, and I wasn't able to be stuck in a location. I guess you could say that was my experience in ROP Disneyland, because when I went from merchandise, I went into attraction, which was, you know, Adventureland attractions, particularly Tiki Room. And in Tiki Room, I was stuck in a location where I couldn't open up. I couldn't, you know, like branch out. I, you know, like attractions for me, for my experience, it wasn't too good. And, you know, like after 3 months in there, I went into Foods, and, you know, Foods was okay. I'd say Foods was more open, more relaxed, but I couldn't really find myself in there.
What restaurants were you at?
The Tiki Room Juice Bar, until it went, you know, went under, you know, like refurbishment. And then I went into, the in-between, which at the time, you know, was run by Disney cast members. Yeah. It wasn't run by, you know, like Sodexo. So, right. You know, like I found it more comfortable in there because I interacted and had to serve cast members. So, yeah. You know, it was more relaxed. But after that, they put me into custodial.
Uh-oh.
Which, so in, why are you saying that, Ken?
Who wants to go into custodial?
Yeah, that was my initial thought.
What about, what year was this?
That was in 96. Okay. 90, you know, well, actually no, that was 97 actually.
Okay.
So in 97, you know, like after I turned 16, I was a junior in high school. I started in custodial. You know, like I was primarily put into New Orleans Critter Country. And in that area, you know, like with Vern Holland.
Yeah.
It was great. I loved it. Among the other departments that I was in, merchandise, attractions, foods, I was blown away by custodial.
Yeah.
Because custodial actually operates not just within a certain location. It operates around all locations. It operates within every aspect of our operations over the resort. What I experienced was better than anything else. And I, you know, like I loved it, you know, from the start. At that time, I, you know, like, because when I first started ROP Disneyland, I was 15. By the time I got into custodial, I was 16. Went to one of our, you know, like schedulers, who was, you know, like the guy that kind of directed me where to go when I was in RLP, Greg King. He told me, you know, like when I asked him, I'm like, hey, you know, where can I go or who can I go to get hired into this department? And he told me, you know, like, go to John Martin. So I went into John Martin's office and I said, John, my name is Jeremiah LeCompte. I'm a guy in custodial. You know, I'm just ROP. I'm not one of the regular cast members here. So I'd like to get a job here because, you know, like, I just turned 16. You know, I want to get a car. I want to start, you know, like, paying for bills. Yeah. And through ROP, we were only, you know, like, earning credit towards high school. We weren't earning any money. I told him this and he said, well, you know, let me look into it. You know, who's been the leads that you've been working for? And I told him, oh, well, Vern over in New Orleans. And there was also Harry over in Adventure Frontier. So he said, okay, you know, I'll check in with them, you know, see what they think about you, and we'll go from there. He told me that, and I, you know, just said, okay, you know, cool, thank you. After that day, I did not let up on John. every day after that, I checked in with him. I'm like, hey, John, everything cool? you know, like, any updates you want to give me? And every day he said, okay, you know, like, I haven't done anything. Let me see. And I did that for 2 weeks straight with John. After 2 weeks, he tells me, he said, Jeremiah, don't worry about anything. I've already checked into everything. Vern and Harry gives you a thumbs up. You're good. And, you know, like, you're going to be hired in next week. So, yeah, you know, I got hired in. And then after that, John, after I get hired in and I'm all good, John calls me into his office and he, you know, like, he has a one-on-one conversation with me saying, Jeremiah, we hired you in, you're good to go. I'm just going to tell you right now, you shouldn't have been hired in. You are underage, you're under our requirements for the resort, and honestly, all of our, you know, like, casting for the operations of this resort are frozen right now. You shouldn't have been hired in.
Wow. So, end of story. Well, thanks for coming on, Jer. No, just kidding.
And then he kicked you right out.
That was
no, He told me, after saying all that, he told me, he's like, Jeremiah, after saying all that, you better make this worth it for me.
Yeah. No pressure.
No.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, John, I'll make it worth it. Yeah, that's my start to my career in custodial.
And that was 97. So yeah. Yeah. What was going on in 97? There was, Indy was only, what, 2 years old then?
Well, Light Magic was starting that,
in its heyday.
Yeah.
Like, someday it'll be tragic. Are you saying Light Magic?
Yeah, but yeah.
I was using the correct terminology, but yeah. We can dream our dreams together, you know.
All right. What was some of your first assignment? Yeah. What was some of the first assignments you had, like your areas you worked in after that?
Well, the most memorable first assignment was my first assignment on swing utility. Did you two get to go on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's an adventure.
Yeah. You two worked with Matt Hardin?
Yeah.
I did, you know.
Yeah, a couple of times. I was probably with you on there a couple of times, too.
I don't think you were with me, Lynn, on my first time.
No, not your first, but I remember you were there.
Because Lynn didn't get into custodial until 98.
Yeah, it seems like a year later.
there. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My first time in Swing Utility was a time that Matt Hardin, for maybe 15 to 20 years until he left Custodial, he would not stop talking about, because it was the best prank, or, you know, like just messed up situation that he created for any cast member. And he loved embarrassing me all throughout the years. But Matt Hardin and I are best friends. You know, like I love the guy. When I first started on Swing Utility, we were in Star Traders, and you know, like, you know, I was only 16. I loved it. It was like the best place to start in, because it had Star Wars, you know, the exit store for Star Wars. And I loved it, you know, like, and all the way up into the main store of Star Traders, I was doing the best job that I could. And, you know, at some point when I was cleaning some of the, you know, like dust around some of the merchandise on the high shelves, there was you know, like one of the phones behind the registers rang, and one of the cast members, who I didn't know at the time, but they were in on the joke with Matt, they answered the call. They said, "Hey, Jeremiah, it's for you." So I go over to the phone and I'm like, "Hello?" Matt Hardin was on the phone. I didn't know it, but, you know, because he disguised his voice pretty good. Mm-hmm. And he was on the other end of the store, you know, on another phone, looking at me from the other end of the store. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Hi, this is Land Security." And I'm like, "Hello?" And he's like, "Hey, we have you on camera. I don't know if you know, but we have cameras all around that store." And I said, "Okay." And he's like, "We caught you in some suspicious activity with some of the merchandise." And I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "We'd like you to, now remember, we have the camera on you right now. We'd like you to pull everything out of your pockets and your pouch and put it onto the counter so we can see it."
Oh my gosh.
So I pull everything out of my pockets, my pouch, onto the counter, and I'm like, "Everything's there. I didn't steal anything." And then he's like, "Well, we still have our suspicions. So we've already called the Anaheim Police Department. Oh, they're on their way to pick you up."
Oh, no. Wow.
So he says, "What we'd like you to do now for the Anaheim Police is put your hands over your head and walk out to the front of the store." Oh, and I'm like, okay. So I put my hands over my head and I start to walk out to the front of the store, and I'm starting to tear up in my eyes. You know, remember, I'm only 16.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So I'm walking out to the front. Matt Hardin, he gets out to his golf cart and drives out to the front of the store where I'm at. And he's like, "Jeremiah, what are you doing out here with your hands up?" And I'm like, "Disneyland Security thinks I stole something, so they called the Anaheim Police, and they're going to pick me up." So I'm out there almost, you know, like crying. And Matt is like, "Jeremiah, I told you, don't touch any of the merchandise." "Well, I got to get all the cast members out. We're almost off, and we got to get everything out of here. I'm sorry, but good luck." And so they all load up into the golf cart and they leave. And I'm like, I'm bawling. I'm crying. I'm crying so hard. And then they drive back around. They're all busting up laughing. And Matt was like, "Hey, Jeremiah, no one's coming to pick you up. Welcome to Swing Utility. Get in the car."
Oh, no. Wow.
I swear, Matt could not stop telling that story for years and years. Yeah. Even after I became a lead, he'd tell that to my cast members just to bust my balls.
Wow. Poor guy.
No, it wasn't poor, because, you know, like 20 or so years later, when I was the core Swing Utility lead, I would tell that to new cast members on Swing Utility. I would tell that story. And then at the end of that story, I tell them, you know what? I may be hard on you at times, maybe tough on you at times, but I'll never be that mean. And wow. So, yeah, that was the meanest thing that was ever done to me, ever.
If that happened nowadays, they would have, you know, everyone would have had a cell phone with video of it and everything.
Well, someone would have, you know, pressed charges probably.
Wow, that's crazy. So that was when you first started your Welcome to Utility.
Welcome to Utility. Yeah. We, you know, back then we do a lot of junk to, you know, new leads, new cast members. Remember one time there was a new lead over in New Orleans Square. You know, all of his cast members over there, we kind of, you know, like joined together on a plan to mess with him. And I'm not gonna say the name of this lead, but yeah, you know, like when he went on his lunch, all of us, you know, like got together and just trash. You know, do you guys remember the New Orleans locker?
Yeah. Right by the exit of mansion. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like no one other than custodial would go in there. Other than maybe security, but you know, like no one. And so when he went on his lunch, we went into there and just trashed the whole locker. We took all the pan brooms that, you know, like they take out at the start of the day. We slammed them all in there, you know, like put all the supplies in a mess in there. And then we went back out to our assignments. And when the lead came back, he was like, what happened? So he'd come back out to us. He's like, "Oh, did you guys see anything?" And I'm like, and we're like, what happened? So we went back with him to the locker, and we see this locker all slammed with junk in it, and you know, all over the place. Mm-hmm. And we're like, "Damn, you must have pissed someone off."
Wow, man, pranksters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Spaz?
Yes.
You remember Spaz?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Dark hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skinny guy, dark hair.
Yeah.
You know, like when he was brand new, you know, like I remember over at Ventureland Frontierland Locker. You guys remember the Ventureland Frontier Locker?
Oh, of course, yeah.
It was
been a lot of my life there.
It was placed in the worst place possible. You remember that, Ken?
Yeah, yeah.
It was right behind a trash compactor and right next to grease barrels.
Yeah.
It stank like hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were back there, Spaz was in the area. And, you know, like we were messing with him and saying, "Hey, you know, you're new here in custodial. You have to earn your respect. And, you know, like we're going to have to, you know, like initiate you into custodial." Mm-hmm. And back there at the time was our lead, Matt Stivers. And he was like, you know, like all in on it. And he was saying, "Hey, you know what? If you're going to be, you know, accepted by us in custodial, and you're gonna have to do something." So he's like, "Okay, what is it I'm gonna have to do?" And I'm like, and you know, or Matt was like, "Well, you're gonna have to lick the rim of that grease barrel."
Oh, I heard of this. I heard about this. Okay, go ahead.
You've heard about it?
I did. I thought it sounded familiar when you first started, but go, yeah, finish.
So Matt told Spaz that, and Spaz was like, no, I'm not gonna do that. So I spoke up and I said, you know what, let's make it something more initiative for you. Let's all put in $5, and you know, like, hopefully that'll get you to lick that rim. So initially, we all put in $5, and that actually added up to $25, $30, which at the time in the late 90s, that was a lot of money.
Oh my gosh. I'm just now remembering this.
Yeah.
So Spaz was like, okay, if you guys are going to put in that money, I'll do it. So he did. He licked the entire rim of that grease barrel. And we were like, whoa, okay, you got the money. You're cool, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then after that, Matt was like, okay, you know what? That was your first initiation. Congratulations. So he said, okay, the next thing is that we're gonna get a cup of the Waters of America water, which you both know is the most disgusting water.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get that. You're gonna have to swish that around in your mouth.
Oh jeez. No.
Oh, mean.
I think these are all against the Geneva Convention.
And we were like, we thought he'd go for it, but he didn't. And yeah. We were like, okay, no worries. You're good with custodial.
Yeah.
But
send your kid to work at Disneyland to get traumatized, everybody.
Yeah. Wow.
Child labor, you know.
No, I was child labor. First of all, because John Martin, you know, who helped get me hired in there. I heard years later, he was talking in a maybe a lead meeting or something. And he told the leads, he said, you know what? Jeremiah was the youngest we have ever hired into custodial. And you know what? We'll never do that again.
Oh, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that was my one thing that I could hold over everyone else, that I was the youngest and the last.
It's a different trajectory. Custodial tends to get people who end up transferring to other divisions, you know. Oh, I want to go work for, you know, attractions or whatever, right. Or even they go off into facilities or something. But it's unusual for somebody who'd been in, you know, one of the other operations to go into custodial, you know? Yeah.
Well, custodial was always the best to me. And always will be. But you know, the thing is with custodial, we deal with a lot of stuff in custodial that, you know, like other departments don't have to worry about, such as blood and vomit and code H, code yeah. use, you know, stuff like that, that really go into the legal boundaries, that minors shouldn't be put into.
So. Well, yeah. Technically, there are certain tasks you wouldn't have minors do. There's certain shifts you wouldn't have minors work either.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Like,
I wrote I had that story in the book about that, how I ended up getting scheduled on a closing New Year's Eve shift and they had to send me home early. But anyway, yeah.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 17. Yeah, the same with me. I had to be sent home at midnight on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And that was the worst time. Yeah. That was the worst time to be sent home on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Get out of here right before.
Yeah. No, that was when our department, you know, like our custodial office was over behind Big Front, Big Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I checked out, I had to walk across the hub. yeah, at midnight on the hub. Yeah. Good luck. So it took me like maybe 2 hours to get across the hub, and yeah,
it would have been better if it was back during the time we were there was some time we were parking back at Ball, and we had our own little locker area and costume exchange back on the north side, and that would have been better.
Yeah. Not in 97.
Right.
No. But yeah, it was a good experience, you know, over there at Disneyland. There was and you know, like years later over at DCA, you know, cast members would ask me, which do you like, DCA or Disneyland? Because they knew I worked both. And I say, you know what? They're both unique. I love them both for their own unique qualities. And Disneyland is like a place where you see, or I saw Disneyland and Disney, Walt Disney's footsteps. And I always cherish every moment that I saw those footsteps. Well, over at Disney's California Adventure, DCA, I made my own footsteps, you know, like, and I saw the footsteps being made. Mm-hmm. So, it was definitely, you know, like a unique experience for both sides. That, you know, like there's always memories that transcend from one side to the other. You know, like there was the electrical parade, you know, like that I experienced over at Disneyland, Main Street electrical parade. Then when I, you know, experienced it again over at DCA, it was just, you know, reliving past memories or Disneyland, you know, like I just can't explain it. You know, it was like, it was awesome.
After it glowed away forever, it showed up again at the California Adventure.
Yeah, Center, no, we, you know, we made it new over at DCA.
Yeah.
We made it, you know, like, because it migrated over to Walt Disney World after Disneyland. And so for years, we didn't see it. You know, we didn't know what was going on with those parade floats. So when it showed up back at DCA, I was already a main cast member in the parade building over at DCA. Mm-hmm. So they when they brought the first floats over, I was the first person to go into those floats and get them back up and going. And it was so nostalgic. It almost made me cry, you know, like it was so good for me to do that again.
Yeah, and they changed the name to Disney's Electrical Parade, right? They dropped the Main Street, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they brought that over there because the crowds were starting to get, they were lower than they had expected. I think they were trying to draw more people over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a sad part after DCA opened. Because I was part of the Tiger team, you know, before DCA opened.
Mm-hmm.
That just like, you know, we kind of, you know, went over there and started getting everything cleaned up and prepared for the opening after everything was built. We also got everything together as far as like custodial's locker areas. So, you know, like I was primarily in charge of, you know, like building all the shelving units and everything for the custodial locker areas. And there was a lot of prep that we were doing, but the primary concern was making everything show ready after everything was done and finished. So when I first went over there, I was part of the swing utility crew of the Tiger team, which was headed up by Charlene. And the first time I had an assignment was with Charlene over in the what is it called? The Challenge Trail.
Oh, yeah.
You guys know where the Challenge Trail is, right?
Yeah, by the rapids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had to go in there and see what needed to be done. And Charlene was looking up at all these lantern lights that was in there, you know, when we were in there at night. And she was like, oh my God, all these lantern lights, they have all these water spots on them. And I had already had my experience with Charlene on Sweeney Utility with Disneyland. And I'm like, oh my God, I got to clean up all these water spots. And so I get some ladders and we started cleaning up all these water spots on these lantern lights. And when I first get up on these lantern lights, I'm like, you know, I'm scrubbing at these water spots. I'm like, oh my God, you know, these water spots, this is so much harder to get off than water spots I've cleaned off before. I'm like, you know, because you know what water spots are, they're calcium deposits.
Yeah, hard water. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh my God. But you know what? Charlene told us we need to clean them off. And like, I knew how Charlene was. If you didn't clean off what she told you to clean off, she'd get on you in the end. So I cleaned off everything that she told me to clean off. So after that night, the next morning, Charlene comes back to us in the evening and she tells us, you know what? You guys did an awesome job on those lantern lights, but you guys probably did too much of an awesome job. And she told us why. She told us that the Imagineer who was in charge of that area came in the next morning and saw that we had cleaned those lantern lights spotless so much that he was pissed off.
Uh-huh.
Because he wanted everything in there to be so authentic that he wanted those water spots on those lantern lights.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. After that, whenever we were cleaning inside the DCA, I was so concerned about what I was cleaning.
Yeah.
I mean, over and you know, like you remember, you know, Hollywood and Dine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we cleaned in there for the first time during the Tiger Team. And when I was cleaning in there, there was this, you know, like elevated camera chair, you know, like an authentic, you know, like, you know, 1930s, 1940s camera chair.
Directors kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had a chalkboard on there. It had something like take one or something on there. It was written in chalk or it was, and you know, like I thought, you know, like, hey, they probably wrote it in paint or something. So I go up on the chalkboard and I start cleaning it. It was actually written in chalk. So I get up on it and I start wiping it and I'm like, ah!
Oh my gosh.
So I wipe it clean and they actually had an actual piece of chalk on the chalkboard. And I take the chalk and I write take five. No one after that ever noticed that I changed what was written on the chalkboard.
So that was, wow. You mentioned Tiger Teams and you should probably explain to people what those are.
The Tiger Team was something they came up with. I'm not sure how they came up with the name, but the Tiger Team was a team from Disneyland that was supposed to get DCA open. You know, not just DCA, but Downtown Disney. And it's pretty much an extension and then something that started what was DCA Custodial. And like when I first went over to DCA, I didn't know what Tiger Team meant. And so when I first went over, and you saw Grizzly Peak for the first time, and I saw it for the first time and when it was being built. And I'm like, what is that? Is that a tiger? And so I thought the Tiger Team was named after what Grizzly Peak was, but I didn't know it was a grizzly bear. I thought it was a tiger at first. So that's why I originally thought Tiger Team was. But, originally, I don't know how Tiger Team was developed, the name or anything. I just know that it was the beginning of DCA in Downtown Disney. And it was an adventurous beginning for sure. I got some cool nicknames for sure over there. One of my nicknames was Hammerhead, because when I was first starting to build the shelving units for the stall closets, custodial stall closets, I was using a clawed hammer. You guys know what a clawed hammer is, right?
Yeah.
So I was banging the metal that was supposed to support a shelving part of the unit, and I was banging it. I was doing it, and then I was like, "Okay, I'll give it one last bang." I gave it one last bang. It bounced up and gently tapped my head, my forehead. And I was like, oh, that didn't hurt too much, whatever. So I kept on banging. And then all of a sudden, it was hot out. And I had two managers behind me, Charlene and, not another manager, she was Michelle Janae. Oh, no, guys know Michelle. Okay. She was a general manager or general lead. I'm sorry. So she was like, with Charlene. And when I suddenly, felt some sweat going down my forehead, I wiped it with my arm. And I looked at my arm. I'm like, oh, my God, there's blood all over my arm.
Oh, no.
And so I looked back up at them. And Charlene was like, oh, my God, what happened? There's blood going all down my face. And I thought it was sweat. Oh, no. And after that, there was like a big dot on my head where every cast member inside the park, attractions or whoever, they were like, oh my God, what happened? So everyone called me Hammerhead after that. Because I told them the story of what happened.
I get it.
That it was because of a hammer that, my head had a big welt on it.
Wow. Well, I think that we are going to have to continue this conversation another time. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll continue this in the future. And thank you so much for coming on, Jeremiah. Nope,
for sure.
Always good to catch up with people that we've worked with over the years, and to get their perspective. It always also brings up stories and things that I forgot about that maybe happened while we were there also.
There's so much more that we can talk with him about. We'll definitely have to have him back on probably a couple more times. There's just a lot more to get into. I've tried to learn to be better over the years about interrupting, because I figure, if somebody's on a roll and they're doing a stream of consciousness, let them talk. If there's something that I want to bring the conversation back to, it might be a little awkward, later on, but. Let the people tell their stories, and I hope that's what the listeners get out of this, is they're getting these people's stories, their memories of working at the resort, and there's just some really good ones there, and I'm looking forward to getting more with Jeremiah.
I am too. That'll be fun. I wanted to also mention this is a time where we read some of our reviews that we get on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. And we haven't had one since, so it's been over a month. So I wanted to say is that if you've been listening to this show for more than one episode and you enjoy it, we'd really appreciate a little bump in our reviews. It does help us out. You know, helps other people find our podcast on these places. If you do leave a review on another platform that has podcasts, you know, maybe, you know, submit it and copy and paste it and send it to me and I'll read that one. You know, tell me where it's at. But I will read that also. So if there's something like on, I don't know, I think Spotify allows comments, reviews. I don't know. I just use the Apple one, but yeah, so you can do that, copy and paste that, and send me an email at thesweetspot@gmail.com, and I will read that on our next episode. Also wanted to mention this is a great time to buy our books, t-shirts. You know, if you go and click on the link on our website, thesweetspot.com, it'll take you to a place to order shirts, but that company, Tee Public, is who we have our shirts made through. They also can make mugs and cell phone cases and mouse pads and all these things with the Sweet Spot logos on them. So it makes great gifts for, you know, people that love our show. Or if you want to get back at someone you don't like, you can maybe get them a shirt of ours. I don't know.
Great, they make great gag gifts, too.
No, but
what better way to say I love you than with exactly. The gift of the Sweet Spot?
That's right. And it's always so cool. I get photos sent to me of people that are in the parks wearing our shirts and stuff. And it's always cool that people are there representing us. So, yeah, continue to do that. And if you can go over to our website and buy those, you can find long sleeve shirts and all the different kinds of shirts. This company does not just only make like t-shirts for men or whatever. It's like women, everything, kids, babies. So check that out. But until then, we'll talk to you next time.